And I was going to ask, is this really a bar made of snow?
Yes.
It's all made of snow?
Yes. There's nothing else, just the snow.
Nothing else, just the snow. There's no cheat, no cheating.
Nothing. You can try it, but then you will have to fix it again.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia, but you just heard Gregory Warner, who's the host of our fellow NPR podcast, Rough Translation, trying to figure out what was going on with this bar made entirely of snow. Greg's now in the studio with me. No snow here, sadly. Greg, how are you?
Yes, I did not take her up on her her suggestion to punch through the bar made of snow.
That bar made of snow was in Davos, Switzerland, where last week there was the big annual meeting of the World Economic Forum. It's where once a year in January, for about a week, the heads of state and multinational CEOs and other bigwig types gather together to do all kinds of things. Actually, that's what Greg is here to explain to us. How exactly would you explain Davos to somebody who has never been there?
So the official program of Davos is just morning to night sessions, right, of interest to this audience. So you'll have something on managing your workforce in the age of robotics, or how to save the oceans, or how to avoid being fooled by con artists. That was a session that I led, actually, NPR session. But behind all that, this is actually just a giant networking opportunity for the global elite.
Okay, well, after the break, Greg is going to tell us about something he observed at the Davos conference that surprised him. See, at the foundation of the Davos meeting is the idea that globalization can be a force for good, for prosperity, that creates wealth that everybody can enjoy. And globalization is, of course, partly about making commerce and trade and financing between countries go more smoothly. But right now, a lot of countries are grappling with anti-globalization sentiment. So the representatives of each country had a couple of choices to make. First, do I show up to this thing or not? And second, if I do show up, what on earth do I say?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Asana. Asana is work management software to help teams organize everything they do so they can focus on the work that matters most. Try Asana free for 30 days. Get started at asana.com/indicator. Support also comes from Yahoo Finance Live. 8 hours of free live streaming news without cable or a subscription. Tune in for the news you need about your money, accessible wherever you go.
First of all, Greg, which world leaders did not show up to Davos? Who bailed?
Okay, so as we all know, President Trump and his entire delegation pulled out because the government was shut down. But it wasn't just Trump. French President Emmanuel Macron, Theresa May, British Prime Minister, as well as Justin Trudeau of Canada, all did not come, in large part because they were dealing with some kind of anti-globalist
like their own domestic sentiment. Issues.
Right, specifically like an anti-global or an anti-elite sentiment in their country.
Wasn't the right time to go to this event for them. Okay.
Not a good image.
Okay, let's talk about those who did show up and what they had to say.
So there was one group who were definitely sort of proudly nationalist, right? They're saying nationalism is good. We can't trade with others unless those terms are good for us. In that camp, I would put newly elected Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro. He gave the opening address at Davos. And I would put U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He, despite the shutdown of the government, did appear at Davos, though he didn't come himself. He came by video link, beamed in on a huge screen in the Blue Auditorium.
It's 18 degrees Fahrenheit here in Washington, D.C. You see the Lincoln Memorial to my back. So while I'm not here in person, I at least feel like I'm in Davos with the weather.
Okay, so there is the secretary kind of warming up the crowd. But, you know, when he said things that I think we've all heard before, but felt kind of jarring in the Davos context. Like he said, nations matter. No international body can stand up for people as well as their own leaders can. Strong borders are key to strong nations. Definitely a little friction with the Davos aesthetic.
Yeah, attending via video link, also kind of a minimal effort going on there.
Yeah, it's a bit big brother.
Okay, so we did hear from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo from the U.S. Who's next?
So the very next day, same auditorium, China's vice president, Wang Qishan, took the stage, and he took the opposite tack, really. He basically said globalization's good. In fact, he said, you know, you guys, you Western countries, you wanted us to open up and provide cheap labor for your goods, and we did that, and that also allowed us to advance, and now our new middle class can be customers for your products. You know, kind of gave a textbook pro-globalization argument.
That's fascinating, by the way, because at the moment, the U.S. is in a trade war with China, And the main complaint is that China does not play by the globalization rules, that in a sense, China has, for example, in the past, tinkered with its currency to make its products cheaper and American products more expensive, and that more recently, China has essentially forced U.S. companies to give up their technology to Chinese companies if those U.S. companies want to do business in China.
So the vice president was actually asked directly about this because Secretary of State Mike Pompeo brought up the forcible transfer. And the way he responded was not with a denial. It was with a fable.
There was a story of a devil and a demon. So when the devil is 8 inches tall and the demon might be 10 inches tall.
Okay, I'm hooked. Like, I'm in. I'm curious.
So the translation of the devil and the demon kind of got us confused. I called my colleague Jess Jang at our Rough Translation podcast. She is fluent in Mandarin. She explained that this is a reference that traces back to a famous line in a classic Chinese novel. And the line basically says that the bad will always sort of stand taller than the good. So Wang Qishan, the vice president, uses that line to make this analogy to policemen and thieves.
So this is like the relationship between the thief and the policeman.
And remember, he's answering a question about China's theft of American intellectual property.
60% of the thieves, if they could be caught and things stolen could be recovered, then we'll have significantly fewer thieves. But if there are no thieves at all, I believe that will be too good to be true.
Greg, what's he saying?
I mean, it sounds to me like what he's saying is you can't stop all thievery, and for the U.S. to demand that is not going to happen. And those trade talks are, of course, happening this week, so those are sort of setting the negotiation terms. But also what he's saying is that we don't have to follow Washington's rules on this. You're trading with us. We do what's good for our innovation.
So what you define as thievery, we might define as something that's beneficial for our country.
An opportunity for progress, right.
Okay. So that's China. Who's next?
So here's Shinzo Abe, Prime Minister of Japan. He emphasizes something different. He says he wants there to be strong economic growth. He's very pro-trade, pro-globalization. But he touts the idea that globalization in Japan, that's going to be good for lots of Japanese workers.
The rate of female labor participation has hit 67%, an all-time high for Japan, and higher than, say, in the U.S.
Interesting. He quite pointedly says higher than in the U.S.
Yeah, and you heard the audience laughing at that. Mm-hmm. I think one thing about Davos this year was that a lot of the leaders were trying to show how their capitalism is different than the United States, that it's not subject to some of the ills that America or other Western countries are experiencing because of globalization, like income inequality. And even German Chancellor Angela Merkel was saying, well, even Germany's capitalism is different than America's or China's because they care about data privacy. Or New Zealand's Jacinda Ardern, the youngest female head of state in the world, was saying, well, you know, her government is going to start caring about the well-being of its citizens. All these ways in which they're saying, yes, we want to be globalized, we want to be pro-trade, but we don't want to look like some of the Western countries that are suffering from that.
Yeah, and Greg, what was your sort of big takeaway from the meeting? Because it sounded like rather than trying to make globalization work better between countries, a lot of these representatives were essentially just there to boast that their approach to globalization was the right one for them.
I think we are in this odd moment right now that the leaders were responding to where there is a ton of anti-globalist sentiment or anti-globalization sentiment. And one point that Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, made in his opening remarks was that, you know, there's a difference between globalization and globalism. So globalization means that we're all connected by technology and business. You could argue there's no turning that back. But globalism means that you're going to be beholden to a world order as opposed to a national one. And that's something that I would say everybody's trying to run away from. They don't want to be dirty globalists.
Greg Warner. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Greg Warner of the Rough Translation podcast. That's also an NPR podcast, and it's about how the conversations that we have here in the U.S. sound a little bit different, and in some cases not so different, in other parts of the world. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Constanza Gallardo, edited by Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.